Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast. Here we explore the hot topic of the week at CRE Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRE Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRE staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's dig in. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Tenure. I think we start talking about tenure, good tenure, poor tenure. What is tenure? All of those types of things. We've had several examples this week of individuals that have reached out to us that have horrible job tenure. And I don't think they understand they've got horrible job tenure. So I thought it'd be a really good topic today.
Awesome. That sounds great. Should we first dive into what is poor tenure? To your point, I think so many people don't understand this topic. It's not that they're, you know, some of them are trying to pass poor tenure as good tenure and they know it's bad, but I think some CRAs just don't know it's bad. So maybe let's talk about how we define it first.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And if you were to go research what good job longevity is, I think overall Google will tell you 5 years at a company is considered good. I think in this industry, 5 years is probably a bit much overall. Now, I'll be the first to say I love seeing individuals that have been at PPD or Syneos or wherever for over 5 years. I love that. Love it. Because it really does speak to the fact that the individual has had a progressive career at that company. If they've been there for that long, they've grown within that company, you know, even if it's from an in-house CRA to a CRA 2 to, you know, whatever. So I do love that. But I think in this industry, what we really look for are individuals who have at least 2 years with a company, but preferably 3 years with a company as a perm. Contracts are a different discussion, and we can touch on that a little bit. But, you know, good tenure for me, I would be looking for individuals who've really hung in there for over 2 years. 3 years would be perfect for their perm positions. So I think that's really good.
Okay, great. Yeah, that makes total sense. So do we want to talk about contracts versus perms? Is this a good time to talk about that? So you just mentioned perms and how 2 to 3 years is helpful. What are the reasons why it might be good for a contract or might be okay for a contract to be shorter?
Well, I think anybody else on the team can jump in on this too. I mean, contracts by the nature of the beast typically have a definite beginning and a definite end. Right. I mean, Natalie, whenever you're coaching candidates for contracts, what are some of the things that you tell them to be on the lookout for? And does any of it have anything to do with tenure whenever it comes to contract?
I would say when I'm speaking to someone and I'm looking at their resume and there's a lot of, you know, if they're a contractor to begin with, but there's a lot of short-term contracts, I like to look at why were they short-term? Were they short-term by design? It was only a 3-month contract. Great. You know, that was because it was short-term by design. If it's reasons of, well, I left the contract because I was offered something a lot better or more compensation, or, you know, it was becoming too much of travel, the scope had changed a bit. I get it. Sometimes we may have some personal things where if it becomes a little too much and it doesn't balance with what we have already, but just try to stick it through for that initial term, because at the end of the day, this industry is small. And, you know, if you are constantly leaving contracts because you don't want to do that contract anymore because you got something with a higher compensation, word is going to get around that, you know, this is a contractor that always bails on their contracts. So those would be the two main things that I look at when I'm looking at a resume, speaking to someone that is a contractor.
Yeah. Yeah. I love your point, because that is one of the questions that we ask consultants that we're speaking with is, have you ever left a contract before naturally ended? And you know, you used a term called initial term. And when we put consultants under contract with us, we set an initial term, whether it be, you know, it's a 3-month expectation, 6-month expectation, it's whatever the client portrays to us that they're looking for. And we expect the contractor to hang in there for that initial term. Obviously things happen, you know, maybe the study gets put on hold or it doesn't enroll and you don't have the utilization that you need to support your family, you know, so, but all of those things aside, you know, if you can stick to your initial term, it's good to do that because it's your brand, isn't it? Makes a big difference. So,
And something I think worth noting is, to Natalie's point, it makes a difference what the reason is, but also how many of those reasons you have within a time period. You know, like if you have a bunch of them in a row that are, you know, was your choice to leave, you could have extended it. They would have loved to have you work there, but for some reason you thought something else was better. The grass was greener on the other side. If we see a trend of that, you know, I mean, we want you to get the best deal you can get. If you find, you know, a great opportunity, someone refers you and it's just your ideal thing, you know, I get it. That's great. But then 6 months after that, don't hop somewhere else. You know, we don't want it to be a trend. I think that's worth, a trend that it's your choice to leave versus, you know, the study wrapped up and they didn't have any more work. It was a small sponsor and they just didn't have any more work to give me. They would have loved to keep me, but, you know, they understood I didn't have any more work. We get it. We see that. And if there are a couple of those in a row, we totally understand that. So it's not like a big bucket thing of if you got this, we just rule you out. Just want to make sure you're noticing the trends for yourself of that stick-to-itiveness. In fact, we talked to one of our favorite hiring managers just last week about this topic, and we touched on it, and she mentioned the exact same thing, unprompted. She said, one of the main things I look for is a resume that looks like they're really jumpy, you know, jumpy work history. That's kind of a red flag. And for us, you know, recruiters scare easy. We've talked about that. So does anybody have examples of when it might look like something's a little scary?
I think so, especially if you're looking at someone that had a lot of jumpy perm history, and then all of a sudden they become a contractor and they've been a contractor for years and years and don't list their clients. That for me shows that you're now trying to hot up your jumpy career history.
Or that you could be.
Mm-hmm. Or that you could be. But that would be my initial reaction.
Oh, that's a good point. Because we just talked about somebody this morning who they had some short, really short perm tenures. And then suddenly they became an independent contractor. And they weren't listing anything under that big chunk of like 5 years in a row. And it just made us wonder. It just gives us hesitation, you know, what were your jobs? You know, definitely it would be nice to list out your contracts. You don't have to, but don't make us wonder either, because if you list out all your perms, then it makes us wonder and we scare easy. So make it easy for us to rule you in.
I know her 10 years when she was a perm was 1 year, 5 months, 1 year, 7 months, 8 months.
Three
I still
months.
Have a resume
and
open.
Then 3 months.
9 months. Mm-hmm.
3 months at one of the big PPD, at one of the big companies. And I mean, how do you even get all your SOPs trained in 3 months? You know, and that is really the thing, is that we do take a look and we do understand layoffs happen. We do understand projects, and we do understand even large CROs lose enterprises. We get all of that type of thing. But Becky, I think to your point, we're not looking at a specific blip. We're looking at the trends and the decisions, and we do ask the questions. And so I mentioned this whenever we were actually on the podcast with Dee Dee last week, but there was a gal that reached out to me. She was a study startup specialist. She'd been with one of the large CROs for the last 15 months, and she was looking for a new position. Now, that alone isn't a concern. I understand, you know, maybe this large CRO just wasn't knocking her socks off, culture fit, whatever. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons. But when you look back through her credentials on LinkedIn, the last two positions she had averaged 15 months. So in the last three positions, they all averaged 15 months. The positions prior to those were even shorter in tenure and were in various roles. So when I look at her story, what I'm seeing is that there is no story. There's something else that's going on there. And I told her, you know, unfortunately, you know, you really need to stick it out where you are, because you need to improve your tenure and you need to show that you're not a flight risk. Any hiring manager that looks at your credentials right now are going to think your shelf life is 15 months, you know, so are they really going to want to train you and bring you on board, especially if you're competing? And she said, well, these were all contracts. Nowhere on her LinkedIn profile had she listed that they were contracts. And you don't, to Becky's point, don't let us use our imagination, you guys. That is, we're never going to imagine the best case scenario, because we do scare easily. Tell us that they're contract CRA or contract study startups, or tell us. I think one of the companies was a subsidiary of another company. Y'all, I have sat in this chair in 2008 and I had never heard of that company before.
So don't assume that people know that company A is actually a subsidiary of another company and you didn't have a tenure. You just changed the color of your badge because of a purchase or an acquisition or whatever. Use that space on your LinkedIn profile or in your resume to explain what's going on. Because your resume or your LinkedIn profile is your calling card. And if you're leaving it up to the recruiter or hiring manager's imagination, it is never going to end well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, too, just because it's a contract does not mean that gives you an excuse for having short tenure. Mm-hmm. Because you can leave contracts early just the way you can leave perm positions early. If it's before the natural end of the contract and you're terminating the term when they still needed you and that company still depended on you, mm-hmm. that shows that you're thinking more about just what makes you happy instead of the growth of the company.
And it has to be a marriage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be both. Can't just be all one or the other, because we want you to be happy. That's our main goal. We want you to be placed where you're going to thrive. And a lot of our clients have long-term relationships with their people, whether they're contractors or perm. And so we want to find a good fit. We want you to be happy. It's not like just sacrifice your well-being for, you know, the bottom line of someone. You know, we get it. We want you to be happy, but it's got to be both. To Angela's point, for sure, it's a marriage. Well, does anybody have examples of good resumes or LinkedIns that they've come across recently that are like, oh man, we really want to work with you? They're showing this whole long tenure thing. Anybody have really good examples?
I have an example. I don't know if it's that they have some good tenures, but I guess the example that I'm trying to explain is they sent their resume. There was a gap from one employment to the other one. And they sent me their resume. And in that email thread, they already had explained why that gap was there. What was that gap? What was the reason why they had to step away from the workforce for a few months or so and trying to get back into it? So being transparent and being open about your gaps is also important, just as much as your tenure, because I've seen it in the past where people stretch their dates to avoid showing a gap when you can just easily explain what that gap is about, I think is a positive thing to do. So I did like that when I got that resume and that email from that person.
It kept downgrading him for stretching dates, because we have our history as well, and you can get blacklisted.
Yeah, I love that topic, Natalie, of gaps and covering up. You know, the gal I mentioned earlier who had the really short perm tenures, there was all, and then just had a big chunk of independent contracting and didn't list any of her clients or dates or any of that. She also had, you know, a chunk of a couple years in the middle of her perm tenures that was just said independent contracting. Didn't have any dates, any clients. And, you know, you just wonder, is that trying to hide a gap? You know, why can't you list your contractors? You could list your perms with dates and companies. You know, it would be helpful for us to see that that wasn't just covering up a gap, because you can have your 1099 company active during that time, but it doesn't necessarily mean you've actively been working during that time. So, you know, don't make us wonder. Another point on that.
Well, and I know sometimes folks don't feel comfortable listing the contracts they've been working on for whatever reason. But I think in this particular situation with the gal that you're referring to, Becky, that we discussed during this morning's huddle, is she listed some of her contracts, but then she had those big chunks to where she didn't. So again, we're looking for patterns, aren't we? And you know, so why would she list some but not all? It makes us question it. And whenever we're seeing a really buttoned up profile, like I think Ruth found one this morning, and she was so stinking cute. She looked buttoned up. She had this really great experience as a coordinator. Now, she's only been with IQVIA for, you know, less than 3 years, but it's clear she's in control. She's telling a story. Her picture was great. I mean, she looked like very approachable and someone that we would absolutely love to represent for a CRA 2 or a senior CRA coming up or whatever position, because you can see it on her profile. It's clear, it's crisp. She's telling a wonderful story, and that's really what we're looking for.
I agree, Angela. So with that candidate, she started as an assistant and then a coordinator, and now she's like a full-fledged CRA. So you see the trend, the upward trend with her career. So that's what we really like to represent.
I agree.
Well, does anybody else have other examples in this tenure topic? Anything else to bring up?
The only other thing that I would do is provide some coaching here. Everyone makes decisions that put them in some type of a situation to where you think, oh, why did I accept this job? Sometimes you hang in there, sometimes you don't. But when a recruiter asks you why you left, be cognizant of the answer that you're giving. And if it's always, well, I left because the travel was too much or the this or the that or the other, make sure it's not just, to Carrie's point earlier, just self-centered reasons. Look at it from an overall approach of the company culture didn't fit, which is why I'm looking for a small company now or a this, that, or the other. Give your reason, an honest reason, but then talk about why that has now impacted your job search. Show that you're in control based off of those blips in your history. One of the recruiters several years ago was recruiting someone, and we were working for a large CRO at the time, and the travel was crazy. Contract CRAs were held to a metric of being on site 12 to 14 days per month. Y'all, that's a lot of travel. And you know, the individual said that they were leaving another CRO because the travel was too much. It's like, okay, well, now let's think logically here. So we're going to take her from one CRO that she says the travel's too much, and we're going to give her to another CRO that has extensive travel. Let's think about that. There had to have been another reason why she was leaving that CRO, and she wasn't being transparent. And so, you know, be honest. Help us help you. Natalie says this all the time. Mm-hmm. Be transparent, but consider the impact to the company. If you're always chasing the money or you're always chasing something else, we're probably going to steer clear, because if somebody offers you a higher rate, if that's your reason, we know you're going to bail. So just be real cognizant of the reasons why and how you explain them whenever you're asked those questions.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Yeah. And knowing what you want. I think we touched on this in a previous podcast, but knowing what you want and what your career trajectory is, because another thing we haven't mentioned in this one is poor tenures about going back and forth between different roles. You know, we came across someone several weeks ago who got on our calendar. They, you know, we talked to them. They're like, oh yeah, definitely want to do CRA work. Well, they had, you know, jumped back and forth between being a CRA to a manager, to a CRA, to a CTM, to a project manager, back to a CRA. And, you know, we had known, I think, from a conversation we had a year ago with that individual, that they actually did want to do management. And so now it seems like desperation that they're wanting to jump back into a CRA role. I mean, if they had done management for 10 years and just said, I really want to be a monitor forever, that's it. I figured it out, you know, and that's fine. You can pivot. It, not saying you can't pivot in your roles, but if you're jumping back and forth in a short period of time, it makes us wonder, are you in control of your career? And what do you really want? Because maybe we're going to fit you in a CRA role, and then 6 months later, you get the perfect management position, you're going to bail, you know, so that's not good either. So think about your tenures. Also think about your roles, and the jumping back and forth is a little bit scary from our perspective, but decide what you want and then be clear. You know, I haven't done CRA work for a couple of years, but I've tried management. It's not going to fit. Really want to do the CRA role again. But just showing that you've got good tenures and not jumping back and forth between companies or between roles really helps to sell you a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Really good point.
Okay. Well, I think that's about it. Anybody else have any final thoughts?
Just to be accountable. If you decide you want to do something, you need to make sure you do it. You can't say, well, I decided to leave because of this. I decided to leave because of this. And just have a list of excuses to explain all of your short tenures. Just be there for the company. They're taking a risk on you. You need to show them that you're worth taking a risk on.
Yeah, and showing us too, you know, we want you to succeed. We want to get you the perfect fit. Let us know what that is and make sure it aligns with the story in your resume and on your LinkedIn. And when all that aligns and we've got the thing that works for you and you've clearly communicated that, we want to see you succeed. That's why we're here.
I absolutely agree. And one more thought on that process. When we tell you that what we're seeing is poor tenure, Y'all don't argue with us. Take the feedback and let's look at it. Maybe it isn't. Maybe they are contracts. Maybe they are subsidiaries. Maybe they were mergers or acquisitions. But if we're not seeing that, then I will tell you everyone else that looks at that LinkedIn or resume is not seeing it as well. So then take the coaching and then let's go fix it. Let's tell a different story because it is what it is. And, you know, the perception, I don't know that if people have heard this statement before, but I've said it before. Perception is 100%. Perception is reality. So if someone is seeing poor tenure, if it isn't really poor tenure, take the feedback and go button up your profile so it doesn't look like poor tenure.
Yeah, absolutely. While being honest and not covering things up.
Yeah, exactly.
Just want to throw that in there. But yes, absolutely. Help us help you take the feedback. Yeah, we want to be here for you. So, okay, perfect. Well, thanks so much, team, for this topic today. It's a really good one. We get so many of these where we need to explain this topic. So I'm really glad we can get this information out there. We really hope it's helpful for everybody who's listening. And if you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and other podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We look forward to working with you.